So, let's move to the next layer in the P model. And we did this. I mean, we've done the P actually in the first year. So we kind of did this in the black. And of course, it's crystal clear in everybody's memory. No, I wouldn't expect it to be. But still, I'm going to not go into super detail with all of it because we are coming at it from a different with a different purpose this time. So the question is loneliness, the loneliness that we feel in the isolation, if each layer is a protection against the next, then the loneliness that we feel in the isolation is a horrible feeling, but it's better than the alternative, right? So we isolate in order to solve a problem. Now, a side effect of the isolation is the feeling of loneliness, but then we look at it and we go like, well, that's a small price to pay to solve this problem, right? So it must be a fairly weighty problem we're trying to solve. And the problem that we are trying to solve is the problem of hate. We feel hate. We contain layers of hate. There are sides of us that feel hate. And in this work, when we're talking about, like sometimes when we say, oh, I hate that person, right? It's like a hot, angry kind of expression, right? So you know that sometimes you use hate in that sense, right? That makes sense. Like, I hate when they do that, right? That in this work, we would call that aggression or anger. We looked at that last time. When we use the word hate, we're talking about something very specific. We are talking about the cool, subtle, calculated plotting of somebody's demise. Right? The cool, calculated plotting of the eradication of something. Does that make sense? And this often makes it much more scary than the aggression. Because the aggression, you see it a mile away, right? Somebody running at you, trying to punch you in the face. Hate is not like that. Hate smiles at you while poisoning your tea, right? It's subtle. Hate is the kind of devastating attacks that you never saw coming. And even once it's destroyed you, you might not be completely clear about who did it. Does that make sense? So, hate is a thing. If you feel the hate in yourself, you want to protect other people against it. How do you do that? You distance yourself. And this is why I don't know if it makes sense, right? But if you then say I isolate myself to protect the world against my hatred, it kind of makes sense to call that a service to the world. Sometimes we don't feel the hatred in ourselves, we project it out onto others, and then we isolate to protect ourselves against our own hatred that we see reflected in other people. And of course, usually, and I say this every single time I talk about projection, we don't project our hatred onto just anybody, we project them onto good candidates, right? So we probably project it onto people who actually do display hateful behavior. But then we don't see that we're projecting our own hate onto them because, well, they have this hate in them. And then we think, well, all we see in them is their hate. Yes, but sometimes we project our own hate just to top it up. But we isolate in order to protect ourselves. So in this scenario, when we project our hate, that's the scenario where we feel there is something scary out there in the world out to get us. There's a monster under the bed. In the case where we isolate to protect other people from our own hatred, we are the monster under the bed. Does that make sense? Good. And I'll just say a little bit about, because of course you know where this is heading. This is heading towards recognizing, acknowledging, owning the hatred that we contain. And again, I want to really emphasize when we're working with something like this, this is not the moment to start beating yourself up because you contain so much hatred. This is not the moment to try and plot a strategy for improving yourself and getting rid of your hatred. These kind of attitudes is only going to push the hatred more into the unconscious and make it even more self-governing, if you like. Right? We want to recognize it, acknowledge it, and go like, yeah, I'm like everybody else. I contain hatred, right? Like everybody without exception. I contain hatred. There's nothing... it's nothing I have to beat myself up for. So just want to be very clear on that. Okay, good. So let me say a little bit about hatred. And as I'm speaking, just see if it brings something up for you where you go like, ah, okay, so that's where I feel it. This is a situation where it's present. Now I see it, right? This is the purpose of me describing it. So first of all, as I said, hatred is cold, it's not hot. If you have, how many have read the Dante's Inferno? It's really cool. Just read the Inferno, don't go on to the Purgatory is also kind of cool, but the Heaven is really boring. But the Inferno is really awesome, right? You will remember, what does he find in the center of hell? He finds a frozen lake, right? So the devil is there, three heads, chewing on different people. And he's Italian, so one of them they chew on is, of course, Brutus, who betrayed the emperor, right, Caesar. And Judas is one of them, so yeah, Brutus and Judas, and I forgot who the third one is. But it's telling that the center of hell is not hot, it's not flames and stuff. It's cold, it's frozen. And so hatred is cold, it's frozen. It's calm, it's not emotional and reactive. Hatred doesn't mind waiting. Right? How is the expression, hate is best served cold? Right? Yeah, so this is the language captures it. So it's calm, it's calculating, and it's indirect. So it's the innocent, in quotation marks, words spoken at the right time. So you say something, it appears like an innocent little remark, but it really poisons the person you're talking to. It's the distorted perception that creates the justification for the hateful action. Many times when you act from hatred, you don't think you're acting from hatred. You just think that you are, sometimes you will even think that you're doing the right thing. Right? You do what needs to be done. But it's devastating, it's poisoning. It's the ingenious ways in which we prevent ourselves from doing the work and get the ways in which we get ourselves out of contact with essence. Right? That's about self-hatred. Right? Really, we get ourselves out of contact. The hatred can be directed at many different things and has many different sources. And I'm just going to mention some of them. And again, it's just... it just slides. Let it be like slides that comes past your eyes, and some of them trigger something in you, and you go, "Ooh, I can relate to that. Wonderful." And some of them you go like, "Meh," and just let them pass by, right? So one of the reasons for self-hate is that we hate what we've become. When we lost connection to being, we turned from a star and a magnificent being into something else, right? We turned into something that is a consumer of light rather than a producer of light. And we hate ourselves for it, right? What is this that I've turned into? And the one of the key ways of recognizing hate is that in the hate there is a deep wish to annihilate. Right? We want to get rid of something. That's how you recognize it. There is also, hate can also be directed at the universe for being like this, for being a place where we lose connection. Right? When we're kids, our universe is our parents, and so we have hatred against our parents because for their role in the disconnection. But then when we grow older, we see that our parents are weak and feeble and themselves have lost connection. And then the hatred is directed to a broader universe, right? As you mentioned before, their hate can very often be directed towards God, towards the divine, towards the creator. Why have I been created to suffer? And why has the omnipotent, the almighty, abandoned me to my suffering? The hate can also be directed towards the light and towards love. Why would we hate love? Think about it. As kids, you've seen this many times. Parents, some parents scold their kids. The kids feel bad. 30 seconds later, the kids run over and hug their parents. Right? You've seen this over and over and over again. What is the force that keeps the child running back to the parent, even if the parent hurts them? It's love. In the beginning, we might say, oh, I don't like this parent that hurts me. But as at some point, we start looking at, and we start saying, hey, hang on a sec. What is this force within me that keeps me running back to the place where I'm getting hurt? And you say, that's love. And you say, I don't like this love because I don't like that it keeps making me run back to the place that I get hurt. Maybe I should destroy that love. Right? So the hate gets directed towards the love. And it hates, the hate can very much get directed towards the light and towards everything that takes you back to the light. Because again, experiencing the light can enhance our suffering through sheer contrast. And at some point we go like, if this light cannot stay, if the divine does not stay, I want to destroy it. Does it make sense what I'm saying here? Many different sources, many different targets. How many can relate to at least one of these sources/targets? Okay, anybody can't relate to any of them? Oh, sorry, you can't relate to any of them. Say a bit more. Oh, you're muted. There.
No, my brain just feels really fuzzy this evening.
Yeah.
I'm finding it hard to take it in. I don't know if that's resistance.
It could be, yes.
Yeah.
let me try and make it really, let me try and put it in a different way. Have you ever come across something where, if you're honest, you think the world would be better without? Have you ever come across, yeah, things or a person or something like that? Yeah? No? Yes. Start there, right? Because the impulse to the hate is to just wanting to just delete something. Good. Any other questions or clarifications or? Yeah, Saul?
So my interpretation, I just want to make sure I'm getting this right in my head, like I understand. I'm seeing sort of difference between hate and anger aggression. Anger aggression to me feels like more fiery, more immediate, more obvious. I'm sort of thinking of hate being something that's like, if I think about it, it has to go away from theoretical, because I'm finding the theory is muddling my brain. I just want to make it real, so I'm just, that's what I'm trying to do. Sure. Make it real here.
Yeah.
Hate, by contrast, for me, would be something which would be like almost like I notice my part will have a, like a conspiracy almost to undermine, twist, keep something completely out of my experience.
Yes.
And I know a number of ways that happens.
Yes.
And now I'm hearing you say this, I'm like, okay, so this is what I would imagine. It doesn't look like the front cover of what hate might be advertised as, but that would be a more conspiracy-like,
yes,
attempt to remove something.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, okay. Like with the anger, right, you show up.
Yeah, yeah, you show up. Yeah, yeah, I know.
Hate,
it's
no.
It's there, yeah. Yeah. I think with my parts, I often think of those parts as being very smart, sharp, slick, like very well tuned.
Yes.
Almost imperceptible. And I think that's,
yes,
what you're describing. It's maybe, exactly, a way to see that is hate.
Yeah. And often they will, I like what you're saying, it's like they twist your perception. And this is how they stay hidden. Like, how many people have experienced the following? Like, because, I mean, a lot of this dynamic often goes on between you and your parents, right? And so how many people have had a friend or a partner visiting and afterward you were saying, like, did you, you know, my parents did this and that was so nasty, and your friend go like, I have no idea what you're talking about. They just said something, it was kind of okay and pleasant or something like that. How many have had this experience? Exactly. It twists your perception. The same with partners, right? When you describe something like the horrible thing that your partner did, which justifies why you did something horrible back, because you had to do it. And many of your friends will, of course, just take your side, because that's what friends do. But some of your friends, if they're close enough, they go like, actually, I don't really see the big, you know, crime that you accuse your partner of. I just don't see it. And so this are ways of seeing that your hate really twists your perception, and that's how it stays hidden.
And it stays out of sight because it's unpalatably gross and horrible to see for various reasons. Be that.
Yes, often we are. And we are scared of it, right? We are really scared of it. When you see hatred in yourself, you look in the mirror and you basically see the Antichrist, right? Right there. And it scares us. And yeah. Do you have a sense of what we're talking about here? Are you ready for an inquiry? Any other questions or comments before we go to an inquiry? Yes, Alex.
Very quick question, because I think it keeps coming up for me, something around power. Is there a connection between hatred and power, because like there's something in the erasing, ripping, and some sort of like that sends a lot more.
As you might remember, there are two sides to the black. Black essence has two sides. One is peace, the other is power. When you feel the black essence, you feel both peace and power, because you feel stillness. Stillness in itself is tremendously peaceful, and the ability to cut through all the noise to stillness, that is pure power. Hatred is both an imitation of the black and a strategy for trying to reach the black. And therefore, in hatred, with a black, you erase the imprints in your mind. With hatred, you try to erase the things out there that you see as responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So yeah, so it's both peace and like if you could eliminate the things you hate, you imagine that you would get peace, but you would also feel powerful, that you have the capacity to eliminate the things you hate.
Yeah, there's something about the power to destroy that really comes up around hatred.
Yes. And exactly, because it's not a fiery destruction. It's like that and it's gone. Unfortunately, the target of our hate is often, it's our light, it's essence, it's love, it's God. Yes. Good.
You said two things. You said hatred is one imitation, it's like an imitation of black. Two.
It is a strategy for trying to get there.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's reaching out for the peace and the power. In ways that do not work. But it's good to see what the intention is. And that is good to keep in mind when we, because now we're going to do an inquiry where we excavate hate in ourselves, towards others and towards ourselves. And it's good to keep in mind that there is a positive intention, and the positive intention is to reach peace and reach a sense of power. Because that sometimes makes it easier to allow ourselves to see those sides. Any other questions before we dive into the inquiry? Good. Let's do it. See, boom.